Now at Eureka's Morris Graves Museum of Art, Mickey has crafted a conversation between painting and costuming for this exhibit. But its fashion is not runway fashion, nor is it about clothing design. As she writes, an event or awareness occurs that is so catastrophic, it immediately reshapes our fundamental perceptions forever. Our interview doesn't delve into that right away. It first is a discussion about putting the physical pieces together, gesture to model to final costume, and the way each painting costume unit is displayed. I want to start, since I was able to stand in the middle of your exhibition at the Morris Graves Museum of Art, I want to start with one particular work. Well, actually, it's two in one. You have a painting, This is War, acrylic painting, and in front of that is The Tyranny of Conventional Wisdom, and that is the costume.
Yes.
The first thing I noticed about this, and I walked around almost behind, not behind it, but close to behind it, light coming down seemed to create a shadow of additional images on the canvas. And I kept looking at it, and I waved my hand around a little because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But it looked like you had painted the suggestion of light that would have put the shadows on the canvas, but it was actually painting. But I'm not really sure. But I was very impressed by what I was seeing because it was the suggestion of light casting additional shadows that created additional designs on the canvas.
Wow, that's interesting. Because I didn't really intend that. I was only... when we designed the lighting for the show, I made the decision to shine it from the direction that we did, because I liked the idea of the shadows being cast down onto the paintings, and not projecting too much, but they were directed. And so, I mean, as a designer, I knew that would be a graphic, an element, could work as an element, but that it wouldn't distract actually from the paintings themselves and from the costumes, that it would most likely work. So I think that's what you noticed, and I think that's great.
And so would it be too much to give away for me to confirm one way or the other? Had you painted those shadowy image suggestions on the canvas?
Nope. No.
You had?
No. That was just the shadow cast by the costumes onto the paintings. Yeah, the paintings and the costumes do connect. They do tell a story. And so the whole thing is designed really as two different mediums, one in costume design and one in painting, to tell a singular story. They're both telling the same story in two different mediums, in two different ways.
Well, then, before we move on, I want to go to what you just said there, telling a story, a single idea.
Yeah.
But even before we go there, I was reading your description of the process.
Yeah.
That is there. You start with a gesture painting, and the gesture painting sets the mood and design parameters is what you wrote. Mm-hmm. So there's a gesture painting. Then after that, the model puts on the costume, and then that inspires an additional painting or a continuation of the painting. I'm not sure how that works.
What you're really talking about is the original concept for the show, which was to do the gesture painting, make a costume that was suggested by the painting, and then put a model in the costume and then paint a figure painting with the model wearing the costume. So that was really three parts to the entire concept. And then after I was into it just for a short period of time, I realized a couple of things. One, that I would need an extra 2 years to complete that. And that really, I had a show with just the gesture pieces and the costumes. That was the art. That was the show. And the costumes were being treated as pieces of sculpture, and had their own language and were important enough to stand on their own and not just be wrapped around a human being for, interpretation or influence or anything. They really were just enough standing on their own. So that's how I treated them.
That's interesting what you said about the model, because one of my questions was, and it goes back to looking at This Is War mm-hmm. and the tyranny of conventional wisdom. I wrote to myself, if a model were standing in the costume, how could that further change the overall spectacle? Because you have the painting, then you would have a model in the costume.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's similar to what you were saying that thinking about.
It is, and I'm actually giving a lot of thought to that now, because this show is complete on its own and doesn't include any figure pieces or anybody wearing the costumes at all. And I'm thinking, now that this is done and I've done with that part of it, I have a choice. I can either just leave it the way that it is and make it the costumes and the paintings because it's a complete show, or I can continue on with the idea and put them into models and then paint figure paintings. And that's a question of, that I'm right now kind of grappling with, is like, what would I do with them exactly? Because I, frankly, after doing figure paintings for a number of years, I have almost no interest in doing them anymore. And at least in a strict realism sense, you know, so that I have a figure wearing a costume. And wearing these costumes, it's not going to look like life drawing. You know, when you're wearing a costume that's exploding or one that's bleeding or another one that's war, you're not standing or you're not draped over a couch and you're not sitting in a chair. So that's a big interpretive opportunity and a question right now. And I'm seriously considering pursuing that as the next step for this show, for this idea, for this concept. But how to interpret a live model so that it's not just a figure painting, somebody just wearing the costume, and is a really interesting question and challenge for how to do a figure painting that doesn't really, right. that isn't strictly realism, isn't strictly abstraction, has more energy in life and perhaps, emotion and anger and chaos, you know, in the paintings themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. But even further, I'm thinking theater, because I'm thinking, what if there was a show that where somehow or other, and you wouldn't be able to, I guess, get them to stand there day after day, if it actually had, you know, the people there in the show, like the live, living, breathing people in the show, in the costumes, with the visual art.
Well, that was the original idea.
And that
to have people wearing the costumes, to have the figure paintings on the wall along with the gestures and the costumes and the figure paintings, and then have people in the show wearing the costumes. And that was the original idea. But I was happy with the costumes and the paintings initially. I mean, and I would need, like I said, another year and a half to do that. But also, without the paintings, just having the costumes worn by people in the show would detract from the costumes themselves. They're lost in the crowd. You don't see them. You don't get the message about what they're doing. They need that interpretation of the figure painting to complete the idea. And just having people wearing the costumes in the show detracts from the idea, would detract from the experience. So it is to be either completely, you know, with paintings and people in the costumes, or it has to be what it is, which is a conversation between two mediums about chaos.
Well, I definitely want to get to chaos in a minute, but before we get to chaos, okay. I want to go back to gesture painting, because I've never heard anybody call it that, a gesture painting.
Uh-huh.
You're the first person who I've heard it call that. And so, but a gesture painting, that came first then. You painted an abstract, and an idea came to you, and you painted it. Is that how it works?
Uh-huh. Initially, I just wanted to define what the energetic quality of the show to be, and so I just began to gesture energy, and pretty soon it formed up. You know, I got the energy I wanted, I got the boldness that I wanted, and I got the explosive sort of chaos that I wanted. And so I did the first three paintings were done before I actually started the costume. And then I did the costume. And then what I realized is, the paintings and fabrics, my studio is fairly small. So I put the paints away so that I could do the costumes because you can't paint and make costumes in the same room. So I put the paint away, really tucked it away, and made the costumes. And then they told the story completely without the gesture paintings. I knew where I was. That those original gesture pieces had defined the direction of the show. The theme of the show was formulated. And I knew personally what I wanted to say with each costume. And so I just set to work about doing that. And then when I got all of the costumes finished, I came back in and designed the rest of the gestural paintings around the costumes. And I put them up, I set the costumes in front of them, and then made the paintings express the idea that the costume was expressing in a way that the costume could be displayed in front of it and not hide it.
Mickey Flatmo. Her exhibit, Dating Chaos, What to Wear, is at the Morris Graves Museum of Art in Eureka through December 30th. You are listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. We begin this half of the interview with another of the works in the exhibit, but what happens next, I'm not even prepared for. Mickey reveals what motivated her, ultimately, to create this show. The Bird Goes Down.
Yeah.
Acrylic painting, and then your bloody idealism is the costume and hat in front of it. Mm-hmm. The Bird Goes Down, for me particularly, I really see that bird going down.
Yeah.
I do see that. And that came first, though.
Well, what actually came first was the whole show concept, was what I wanted to do, what I wanted to say. Before I painted a painting or designed a costume, I was asking myself, what do I want to say, and what do I want to talk about, you know? And what I decided what I wanted to talk about was that moment in life that a notion or a realization comes to you, and once you've realized it, once you've had that notion, you can no longer believe what you believed before. You realize something is true for you, probably true for everyone, and you're not going to be able to go back. And in particular, it was the realization that just may not be the first person in human history to get out of here alive and to live forever. It was really about, oh, geez, I am going to die. We all have that moment. And once you realize you're going to die, eventually, you know, you can't go back. You can no longer be innocent or naive enough to think you can live forever. But until you have that moment, that realization, it's possible you just might. So you don't believe you're going to die until you actually believe it. And then once you actually believe it, you can never believe the other thing again. So your perception is completely altered forever. And that's a catastrophic, even though it's a small notion or a small event in thinking, it's a catastrophic event, and it changes the course of the rest of your life, usually in one way or another. You know, you realize you don't have all the time in the world left, that life can change really quickly, and that you have to make decisions, or you are inclined to make decisions in a different way, looking at different parameters. So the whole point of the show was that very first dress, which is called was called pre-explosive ball gown, but it's called First Date, What to Wear. Our first date wasn't expecting this.
I had that written down, and you have a painting called Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah.
That's behind it.
Yeah. Tick, Tick, Boom is the world is ticking just along just fine. There's the first painting is a clock. The second painting is the clock is energy spinning completely out of control. And then the third painting is an explosion, and the costume is an incarnation of that explosion. So that's a dress that you wear that's exploding. And so that's the moment. That's innocence all dressed up, ready to go to the ball, going on a blind date, and you hold out your hand, and it's death is who takes your hand. Or it's, in this case, chaos. And so that was the original impetus for the show. The show is really about the 2016 election. It's really about the moment when our country changed from feeling and believing that everything was was humming along pretty well. Got a few, you know, the clock is ticking. Things are not completely in balance. But, you know, someone came wafting down the escalator and things changed almost immediately. And so when that election happened, I wound up asking myself, oh, what was destroyed here? What was wounded here? What was that experience like? And that's the bird going down. That's your bloody idealism. The bloody idealism is a wound. And it's the bird, the nature, my very nature was altered. And that realization came to me that, oh my gosh, things can really go down really fast and can change. And I felt wounded. And so that your bloody idealism is the bird exploding in the nest and bleeding down the front of the dress. That's really what it is. So it's a lovely piece, but this whole show is very dark. It's a beautiful show. The work is lovely, but it's very dark.
I almost don't know what to say except chaos. At least it's not nothingness.
Yeah, yeah, it is not nothingness. That's for sure. It is not nothingness. It's the opposite of nothingness. It's really about a realization and taking a look at all of this. And I was thinking, you know, that if I was going to make the next costume or the next design for all of this would be one of two things. One of them, the first thing would be a costume made out of eyes, you know, with open eyes all over everywhere. And I'm thinking about how am I going to make a fabric and make a costume that's literally covered with open eyes. And so that's what I want to say. I want to say, you know, what happened? People woke up, you know, there's been awakening. There's change that's happening every single day. You know, it's never one day is from day to day. So not it's the opposite of nothingness. It's about waking up and seeing. If something's destroyed. Innocence is destroyed, but you wake up and you see. So
is your background in costume design as well as art study, visual art, painting study?
I've always had an interest in costume design, and I've always done it. I've always made costumes. I've always and worn them. I've always made them and worn them. And then about, you know, initially just for the kinetic sculpture race and a few things like that for a lot of years. And they were just fun and it was great, you know, but I got used to kind of thinking in those terms. And then 10 or 12 years ago, I guess, went to Burning Man. And that kind of altered my perspective about how a costume is an awesome way to participate, you know, and to bring something to the party. So I began to make and design costumes and wear design costumes to wear to Burning Man. And they just kept getting more and more elaborate and more interesting. And I really enjoyed doing it. So when I proposed the show to the museum, I knew that I wanted to do something completely different because a lot of people don't know I do costume design. And most people don't know that I do abstract painting because I've been for, you know, all of these years, many years, showing and I've been showing in galleries for 40 years as a realist painter. And so this show is completely different than anything I've ever presented to the public. But it's something that I've done, you know, concurrently with my other artistic life almost for 40 years. So.
And that was one of my questions. How different is this from other shows you put together? Has it brought you personally any calm or peace having done this?
Yeah, actually, the interesting thing is that this whole process was much less stressful for me than just mounting a show for a gallery or for one person show somewhere in a gallery. And usually I'm kind of crazy and nuts and I'll go to bed, you know, and then get up at 1:30 and get up and go paint until 4:30 and then go back to bed. And so it's really putting a one woman show together for a lot of pieces in a gallery has always been a bit of a crazy making experience. Wonderful, but it feels different. And this show has felt very calm and measured and directed from the very beginning. It never freaked me out. It was more fun. It was easier to manage and just came very naturally and very powerfully, but without all of the anxiety, because I really think probably because I was really saying something that I wanted to say and I was clear about how I wanted to say it. So I think the clarity of it was calming, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, because just in describing the emotions and the ideas that you had before you created this show, I was wondering if having fulfilled getting it out there has somehow calmed you down.
Yeah, it was, like I said, calm from the beginning. And now what I am, instead of wanting to take a break, I'm wanting to make another one. You know, so that experience of doing this whole thing has been a really positive experience. And I'm wanting to say there are lots of things that I still want to say about what's going on, what's happening in the country, different issues that I think are important. And I'm wanting to address that, no pun intended. I'm wanting to putting it into another costume that's, alternative materials, alternative and just expressive in a way that most costumes aren't. Because it's not tied to a theater production. It's not tied to a historical context. This is completely other than that. So I get to do what I want to do, and it's exciting to do it. It's fun.
And one final question is, given that this is a public exhibition, in other words, the public is viewing it and will continue to view it through December, what do you hope people take with them from viewing this work?
Well, you know, I hope that they take something that's meaningful for them. I mean, that can be just looking at, you know, looking at something that's really beautiful or that's energetic or that works well together. A beautiful show is satisfying on its own. There's no real, outside of the titles of the pieces, there's no explanation for what it's really about. And that's intentional. I didn't really want to tell people, I'm not trying to tell people what to think. I'm telling them about what I think. And although it's minimalist in mention, it's just the titles that'll maybe give you a hint to it. But I've tried not to hit people over the head with things, but just make them curious and just a sense that there is something in there, there's something behind there. And I did give a talk. I gave a talk at the museum.
Right. You gave your talk on November 5th. And do you recall any questions people asked, perhaps that maybe even surprised you?
Well, people asked questions for over an hour. It was a long session and it was standing room only. It was great. And people were curious and interested and probably surprised because they didn't know either what it was really about. And I thought, well, you know, you showed up here, you're going to get the whole shebang. I'm going to tell you what this is really about. And it's political, but it isn't really. It's about the rest of us. It's not about a personality. It's not about politics or policy. It's about what it feels like to be alive in this era right now, at least for some of us. And not so much for others. But I think no matter which side of the political spectrum you fall on, there's a lot of angst and a lot of anxiety and a lot of unknown just a lot of energy in the world right now that's chaotic. And that's hence the name of the show, Dating Chaos, What to Wear.
So I'm assuming people asked you questions like that. What is this about? Because Dating Chaos, I swear to you, before I actually got a chance to stand in the midst of it and see how the costume and the paintings connected. Dating Chaos, initially I thought it had to do with dating. Like,
dating. It kind of does.
I wrote dating chaos or dating chaos. You know what I mean? It's like the prospect of dating, but no, we're talking about courting, dating, connecting with chaos.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. That is what it's about. That's what it's about. Yeah.
And so really, aside from politics, I'm thinking that you're inviting conversation.
And that underlies the whole premise of the show, of having two mediums, because they are a conversation. Those two mediums, the paintings and the costumes, are having a conversation. They're talking about it and they're both expressing it in different ways, but it is a conversation between those two mediums. And it has spurred conversation. I mean, that's kind of the point, that it's really, we need to talk about this. This is what I think about it. But instead of hiding and, you know, and just attending a rally, it's great. But as an artist, I can say something in a different way. And I just felt compelled to do that. I mean, I've never been a political person. I've never ever in my whole life. It's, you know, I enjoy, I watch, I pay attention, but I've never had an opinion feel so visceral. So visceral enough that it changed my aesthetic and it changed the direction in my life and in my art, and really moved me to do something that's deeply personal but also universal in a way that I haven't seen done at all. I've never seen a show that puts this kind of thing together in this way. So, you know, I wanted to be connected with the people who were saying something about the resistance and about the political scene right now, because there are lots of artists who are doing that in a lot of ways. And I just wanted to do it too and do it in my own way. So that was the motivation.
Mickey Flatmo, Dating Chaos, What to Wear. At the Morris Graves Museum of Art, 636 F Street in Eureka, through December 30th. The museum is open noon to 5 p.m., Wednesdays through Sundays. And it will also be open for First Saturday Night Arts Alive this Saturday, December 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m. For more information, you can visit humboldtarts.org or you can phone 442-0278. And that's Art Waves for today. You can join me for the next regular broadcast Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Or you can listen anytime online at khsu.org. And you can also download podcasts of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school, hard bop, 60s blue notes, the young lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
Radio Lab.
And that's
Radio
the moment.
It's happened very suddenly.
So that's how it happened.
Suddenly, in a flash.
Everything is totally changed.
Amazing.
It hit us for the first time.
Where?
Where exactly?
You see it happen?
Struck me at that moment.
Are you really going to go all the way there?
Tuesday evening at 7 on KHSU.
Well, that'll be a thing to check out. Right now, you are checking out listener-supported diverse public radio for the north coast of California and the south coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. My name is Pandemonium Jones. It is time for Mixed Messages. 2 hours of diverse public music programming, selected by yours truly. 826-4805, the number in the studio. Ooh, check out these donors. We got some. They include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 36 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Ave next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Info at sixriversoptical.com. And support comes from the Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery, offering locally made art, crafts, and a large selection of cards. This November, the gallery features the landscape paintings of Catherine Stotler and the ceramics and metalsmith works of Gilbert Castro. Learn more at arcadaartisans.com. I've got a lot of cool stuff that I am excited to play for you today, but I have no idea what order I'm going to play it in. So let's find out together. We're starting off with Caterina Barbieri doing Information Needed to Create an Entire Body. You're listening to Mixed Messages on KHSU. Stay tuned.